Doctors are pushing the frontiers of medicine to help American troops in Iraq. That's one reason that a greater proportion of soldiers and Marines are surviving their wounds than in previous wars. It also means that more people have to recover from very severe injuries. Yesterday, we heard the stories of two Marines saved by quick medical attention. It's part of our series, The Span of War. Today, NPR's Joseph Shapiro continues following the treatment of one of those Marines. He's at the National Naval Medical Center in Maryland.
Marine First Sergeant Brad Castle lies in a hospital bed. Below his knee, his leg is squeezed by a heavy cast made of pins and screws drilled into his bones. It holds together the chunks of his fractured leg. Castle was shot in Iraq. He lost 4 inches of bone in his right leg. Now he's trying to grow it back.
You know, it's just like I told the doctor, I told him regardless, I'm going to will myself back to health. Just out of sheer will, I'll get back to stronger than whatever you tell me I'm going to get back to.
Commander Francis McGuigan is his orthopedic surgeon. Wearing a white lab coat, he enters the room.
First Sergeant, how you doing today?
Good, sir. How you doing?
Good. How was physical therapy yesterday?
Painful, but getting it back.
McGuigan is a Navy doctor. He says the qualities that make good Marines also help them deal with traumatic injuries.
I don't know whether it's Iwo Jima, I don't know whether it's the halls of Montezuma, but they're a different breed of individuals, and they're excellent patients. They follow orders, and I think they have a certain desire to get well beyond what the average person, and that means enduring pain, enduring physical therapy, and willing to take risks.
McGuigan's patient, First Sergeant Castle, is taking a risk. If his leg had been amputated, he'd be walking around now on a high-tech prosthesis. But Castle's been a Marine for 20 years. It's a job he loves. He wants to stay in the Marine Corps, and he figures his best chance is if he avoids an amputation. He's already had 16 surgeries. Ahead of him, more operations and months of painful recovery. Dr. McGuigan's warned him, even with all that, his leg might not heal.
The first sergeant recognizes that this may not come out the way he plans, that, you know, he may invest a lot of time and effort and pain and still may not wind up with a leg that functions entirely well. And a lot of people would get frustrated and a lot of people would wind up giving up.
McGuigan is trying a complicated medical procedure called the Ilizarov technique. It's named after its inventor, a Siberian surgeon who developed it in the 1950s to help disabled World War II soldiers. It wasn't really known in the West until after the Cold War. You may have heard of the more controversial way the procedure is used to make people taller. Some people with dwarfism or ones who just want to add a few inches to their height. It's a painful way to get there. Dr. McGuigan stands next to the hospital bed and explains how the surgery was done on First Sergeant Castle.
We actually cut his bone in two places, above and below the area of bone loss.
If Castle's cast came off and you could look under his skin, you'd see his foot and just above his ankle, there'd be a gap, then more of his leg and another gap right below the knee. The doctor is trying to get the bone to grow, to stretch like a piece of taffy to fill in the gaps.
And those two fragments that we cut will slowly be pushed together. Eventually they'll hit, and then that bone will grow together at that union site, and then the little areas of wispy bone will progressively become thicker and more mature and reform his bone.
Progress is measured day to day in tiny, almost imperceptible growth.
A millimeter a day, and it will leave just a little tiny wisp on x-ray, almost look like you would pull cotton apart, little threads. And then those little threads over time will mature. The whole process takes about 3 or 4 months.
A lot of Marines started coming back to this hospital with shattered bones, muscle, and tissue. So last fall, McGuigan went to another hospital to learn the most complex version of the procedure. Now there are 7 other patients on this floor getting the same limb lengthening. McGuigan says it's better than implanting metal rods. That's the usual way to rebuild a shattered leg.
The problem with introducing metal in this setting, you're going to wind up with a huge incidence of infection and a huge incidence of the bones actually not knitting together.
There's no metal inside Castle's leg, but on the outside, there's a metal scaffolding, a cast called a ring external fixator. Twist one of the screws and Castle's bone is literally pulled apart, just a tiny bit. That stimulates the bone to grow, the muscles, nerves, blood vessels, and skin too. Eventually, Castle will turn these screws himself a little every day.
Right now, the doctors are still doing it, and it's relatively simple. It's a little bit uncomfortable. Well, quite a bit uncomfortable, but it's a relatively simple procedure to do. You just there's a little clip right here. You release the clip, and then rotate it clockwise, as I'm looking at it, until one click is a quarter turn, so to say.
First Sergeant Brad Castle led a company of 155 Marines into Iraq. In 7 months, 40% of them got wounded. Six died. Last November in Fallujah, Castle raced into a house to rescue three Marines. He may have saved another young Marine who went with him. When Castle saw a grenade about to explode, he jumped on top of Alex Nickel to protect him. Both Castle and Nickel ended up with gunshot wounds that shattered their legs, and both came back to Bethesda Naval Hospital. Brad Castle says he was the fortunate one compared to Lance Corporal Nickel.
Even though I shot six times in a leg, all six rounds missed the artery, but he lost his leg. He had the same wounds I did, except where I was lucky and it missed my artery. His artery was severed, and he ended up getting his leg amputated.
Castle wants to walk, to run again, and to pass the rigorous fitness test so he can stay in the Marine Corps.
As long as I can physically perform, which I'll be able to, and do my job, no matter what it is. If it's back in an infantry unit, then I'll do it back in an infantry unit. I may not be as gungy and as quick as I used to be, but I'll still be quick enough.
Castle's already gone to physical therapy today, where a therapist pushed and twisted his foot to build up his damaged muscles and to keep the surviving ones from shriveling up. That's Castle's prescribed exercise. A couple extra times a day, he does more. He gets out of bed and forces himself to walk to put weight on his injured leg. The Marine swings his right leg very carefully onto the floor. He tugs a white bathrobe over his blue pajamas. Castle's body is powerful. Pushes himself up on a pair of wood crutches and takes jerking steps into the hallway. He hunches over the crutches. His posture is lopsided. Because one leg is longer, he has to bend it at a sharp angle just to walk.
You see how much shorter the leg is? And I can't bend it all the way either, so all I'm really trying to do is just stretch it out a little bit. So like right now, I'm just trying to stand on it and see how much I gotta bend. So if I stand up, then see how far my heel's off the ground. So it's kind of a pain in the butt.
He steps and grimaces, clenching his jaw tight to hide the pain.
So I'm probably just gonna do one lap, go up here, turn around, come back.
One lap turns out to be only 40 steps. Out of his room, past the door to the next room, a few more feet to the corner of the nurse's station, and back.
All right, that's pretty much it for this afternoon.
He limps to his bed, taking tender steps. Brad Castle knows nothing is guaranteed, just that he will endure the pain and keep trying to get his leg back to health. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.